this message. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, that therefore there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. I realize that there are many people listening to this message right now, whether here locally or whether they're listening over the internet and internationally, that are believers in Jesus Christ, but yet they are walking around with guilt and fear and doubt and condemnation in their life because they have sinned or they have believed the lie of the devil that you don't care. But Father God, through this word today entitled No Condemnation, I pray the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, will lift the veil and open the eyes of all of your children to realize that you did not send Jesus to condemn us, you sent Jesus to save us. And so, Lord, let that message ring clear and true in the hearts and minds of everyone who hears this word and confirm it, Lord, with miracles, signs, and wonders. We'll give you the glory and the praise for that in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, which contains probably the most popular verse of Scripture in all of the Bible, John 3, 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world. Or the King James Version says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. How many of you know that Jesus did not come to condemn us? He says right here, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Once again, God does not want you to perish. Do you understand that? Get that deep down in your heart, that it is not God's will for you to perish. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Apostle Peter says, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. It's not God's will for anybody to perish. So don't believe that lie of the devil. Don't believe that lie of religion. Don't believe that God is angry with you and he's looking for an excuse to roast you and toast you and make you a crispy critter. Amen? God loves you with an everlasting love, and that love was demonstrated through the great sacrifice that he made for us through his Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. And he did not send Jesus to condemn us or judge us. He sent Jesus to save us. He does not want you to perish. God is not willing that you should perish, but that you should come to repentance. Now, when we look at that word repentance, let's take it out of the religious context and put it in the context that God meant it to be in. The word repentance simply means a change of mind. God wants you to change your mind about what you think about him or what you think he thinks about you. Amen? He does not want you to perish, and that's what he's saying. He does not want anyone to perish, but for everyone to come to a change of mind. Change your mind and realize he didn't come to judge you. He didn't come to condemn you. He came to save you. He came to deliver you. He came because you couldn't save yourself. Amen? He came because he loves you more than you can even imagine. Verse 18 again says in John chapter 3, he who believes in him, in other words, the person who will believe in Jesus is not condemned, is not judged. He who does not believe has been condemned already or judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Do you realize there is only one sin that will keep a person out of heaven? And it's not murder, and it's not lying, and it's not blasphemy, and it's not cheating, and it's not adultery, and it's not covetousness. But the one sin that will keep a person out of heaven is the sin of not believing on Jesus. not believing on Jesus. Believing on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior removes all judgments against you because Jesus was judged on your behalf. That's the beautiful thing about it. If you will believe in Jesus, if you will accept His sacrifice, then all the guilt, all the condemnation, and all the judgment and wrath of God that we deserve has been transferred from us to Him. And His righteousness and His purity and His holiness and His goodness has been transferred to us. That's what the Bible means by substitution. Jesus became our substitute. He took our place in death. The wages of sin is death. We deserve to die. Jesus never committed a sin, but He took your place. He took your wages. He took the payment for your sins, and He gave you the gift of righteousness. Now, the blood of Jesus Christ delivers us from all judgment. You understand that? The night before Jesus went to the cross, He met for a final Passover meal with His disciples, and He instituted the new covenant. When He was eating the Passover meal, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 26, while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, He broke it, and He gave it to His disciples, and He said, "Take, eat, this is My body." And when He had taken a cup and given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." That's what the new covenant is really all about, is the forgiveness of our sins. And once our sins have been forgiven, there is no more judgment against us. There is no more condemnation against us. The writer of the book of Hebrews puts it this way in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. "This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put My laws into their minds. I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be My people. And they shall not teach every one his fellow citizen and every one his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord.' For all will know Me, from the least to the greatest of them, for I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." That's the beautiful thing about the new covenant, about the New Testament, is that our sins have been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, God refuses to remember them. So you need to forget them too. Amen? Look at somebody and smile and say, "Forget your past." Amen. God has a brand new future for you. No matter how wicked, how low, how bad, how far away from God you may feel you've been, Jesus will bring you close to the Father. Let me ask you in finishing this up, in John chapter 8, turn to John chapter 8, verse 1, and I want us to look closely at the story, and this is a true story about a woman who was caught in the very act of adultery, and according to the law of Moses, she deserved to die. She deserved to be stoned to death. That was the judgment against adultery. They were to be taken out into the public square and literally stoned to death. Now, in John chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, He came again into the temple, and all the people were coming to Him, and He sat down and He began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and having set her in the center of the court, they said to Him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act." Now, I want you to notice, I think most of you realize that the sin of adultery, it takes two people. Amen? Can't commit adultery by yourself. You need a partner. But yet, when they caught this woman in the very act, if they caught her in the very act, they must have caught the man too. But notice they didn't bring the man. They just brought the woman. Because they really weren't concerned about justice, they were hypocrites. They were just trying to catch Jesus, thinking that they could make him look like a hypocrite himself, like that he was not keeping the law of Moses. And watch what happens here. It says, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What then do you say?" If they were concerned about keeping the law, they wouldn't have come and asked Jesus' opinion. They would have just stoned her to death right there on the spot. Verse 6 says, "They were saying this, testing him, so that they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. But when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and he said to them, 'He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her.' Again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones, and he was left alone, and the woman where she was in the center of the court." Now I want you to picture this. They came to try to accuse Jesus or to snare him so that they could make him look foolish. And they quoted the law and said, "The law says that she was taken in the act of adultery. She deserves to die. What do you say?" Well, they weren't really concerned about what he said other than the fact that they were hoping they could get him to disagree with the law of Moses. So at first he ignored them. And then he just kept, they kept persisting and persisting. Till finally he wrote on the ground. Nobody really knows exactly what he wrote on the ground, but I've read some commentaries and I like what one rabbi said. He said, "I think Jesus was writing the names of their mistresses in the sand." Because it said, he finally straightened up and he said to them, "Let he that is without sin among you be the first one to cast a stone." Well, he knew that we all have committed sins. We're all guilty before God. Amen? So it's hypocritical for us to criticize and judge somebody else when we ourselves are guilty. Amen. And so when they heard this, it says, they all got up being convicted in their own hearts. Notice it said the older ones first, because the older ones probably had more opportunity to have committed sin than the youngers, and they were all guilty in their conscience, so they go, "You know what, I think I'm going to go home." They just turned around and disappeared until finally there wasn't anybody left. And here is Jesus standing in the temple court alone with this woman who was guilty of committing adultery. There's no question about it. She had been caught in the very act. So she was guilty and she deserved the death penalty. But now she's standing with Jesus. Now I imagine she's still very nervous because she'd been caught and she was guilty and she knew what the law says. Now the ones who accused her, they all left, but she's still standing there with this guilt. She's still standing there with this condemnation. She's still standing there with this fear, wondering, what is Jesus going to do? Because according to the law, he had every right to pick up a rock and knock her in the head right there on the spot. And he would have been justified in doing that. But the Bible says the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I didn't come to destroy men's life. I came to save men's life." And so here's Jesus standing there with this woman. And verse 10, straightening up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "I do not condemn you either. Go. From now on, sin no more." Wow. Jesus said, "I do not condemn you." I want you that are listening to me right now to understand Jesus will never condemn you for your sins either. He will not. You know why? Because he paid the ultimate price for your sins. He's not going to condemn you because he was condemned for you. Do you understand that? And so your sins, past, present, and future, have all been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul could write in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, I'll quote it from the King James. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus." Amen. And now reading that from the New American Standard Version, it simply says, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Notice it says now. Look at somebody and say now.
Now.
Now means now. Amen? Now there is no condemnation. That means absolutely none. Not even just a teeny little bit. We don't have to be guilty. The word condemnation in the Greek means an adverse sentence or verdict. Something that is adverse to you. A verdict against you. But you know what? The verdict against you is not guilty. You say, "But I was guilty." Yes, but Jesus took your guilt. He took your judgment. He took your punishment. And whom the Son makes free is free indeed. You are completely free by the grace of God. And somebody argues, "Well, if that's the case, then why don't we just go out and do anything we want and live in sin and it doesn't really matter?" Oh, yes, it does matter. When you fall in love with Jesus, first of all, you're not going to want to sin. Paul said in the book of Romans that sin no longer has dominion over you because you are not under law, but you're under grace. So when you are under grace, sin does not have any power over your life. So if you're telling me I'm just going to go sin and do what I want, what you're telling me is sin still has power over my life. So if sin still has power over your life, then you're obviously not under grace. Because if you're under grace, sin no longer has dominion over you. Thank God that the law was not destroyed by Jesus, but the law was fulfilled by Jesus. The law said, if you sin, you must die. Jesus said, "I will die in your place." Therefore, the law was fulfilled. You can't be judged. It's called double jeopardy. You can't be judged twice for the same crime. After you're dead, you're dead. How dead can you get? Amen? Jesus died once for everyone forever. And so your sins in the body of Jesus have been condemned so that you, in grace, can be justified. Justified means just as if I'd never done it. You are pure, you are holy, you are righteous in the sight of God, not because anything that you've done, but because of everything that Jesus did. He has declared you right, righteous with God. And if you will believe on His name, you receive that gift of grace. Do you understand that? Do you understand the power in that? You do not have to sin anymore. That's why Jesus said to that woman, "Go and sin no more." Now she's going, how could I possibly do that? But think about this for a moment. When Jesus said to her, "I don't condemn you either," don't you think that a weight of guilt lifted off of her? Do you think that at that moment her mind was going, "Boy, I can't wait to go back and get in bed with my lover"? I don't think she was thinking that. I think she was crying and weeping and saying, "Thank God I don't have to die. Thank God I'm not going to be condemned. Thank God they're not going to stone me. I've got a second chance at life. And you know what? With this second chance, I'm going to do better this time." But what we need to understand in just wanting to do better is not enough. What we need to understand is it's not in our effort or in our trying to be better or do better that pleases God. What it really pleases God is for us to come to the end of ourselves and saying, "Lord, without you, I'm nothing. But with you, I can do all things." Sin no longer has dominion over the believer. Amen? There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Now, let me conclude by just giving you this, and you know this, but this is just a little heads up and a little warning. How many of you know, even though that in Christ Jesus we have no condemnation, we have no guilt, but we still have an adversary? Amen? And the Bible calls him the devil. And the devil is also called the accuser of the brethren. And he's going to accuse you of everything he can think of to make you look bad and feel bad before God. Now, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, the writer here says, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. Notice that the devil will constantly accuse you of your shortcomings. Amen? We all experience that on a regular basis. There are people out there reminding us every day how Christians are supposed to act. Amen? I thought you were a Christian. You're just a hypocrite. And they're just telling us how badly we behave. And yet at the very moment the devil is accusing us, we have an advocate. We have a legal defense. Jesus Christ, the righteous one, standing at the right hand of the Father where he ever lives to make intercession for us. He pleads our case and says, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. No matter what accusations he may bring against you, you are not guilty. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against us will prosper. Every tongue that rises against us in judgment or in condemnation, every tongue that rises up to condemn us and judge us, he says, you will condemn or you will judge them. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and our righteousness is of him. And so no condemnation is really a gift to you from Jesus. Amen? Amen? Jesus said to that woman, go and sin no more. How many of you know that it's only the grace of God that can keep us from sinning anymore? Amen? Amen. And so this gift, with this gift of no condemnation, knowing that we're never going to be condemned, we're never going to be judged, that gives us the power to live without sin in our life. In Romans chapter 8, again, verse 1, Paul says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Thank God that all the righteous requirements of the law were fulfilled by Jesus on the cross. And so now God declares us to be right with Him, righteous with Him. And there is therefore now no condemnation. Look at somebody, smile, say, no condemnation. God is not condemning you. So let's stop condemning ourselves. Amen. And let's stop condemning one another. Let's stop judging one another and realizing that it's by grace that we stand. Amen? Amen? Let's stand this morning in the presence of the Lord. Let's join hands with one another and let's just give this prayer of praise and thanksgiving to God that we can live in liberty, we can live in freedom, we can live in the blessing of the Lord that makes us truly rich. Amen? Say this out loud with me this morning. Father God, I give you thanks today that the precious blood of Jesus has cleansed me from all unrighteousness, that my name is written in the book of life, that you have sent your word and healed me and delivered me from all destruction. I thank you, Lord, that all of my needs are met through your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I believe in the name of the Son of God. I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in the blood of Jesus. And because of that blood, I have no condemnation, no guilt in my life. The Son of God has set me free, and I am free indeed. In Jesus' name, amen. Now give Him praise. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God.